Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome all to another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Rick in the studio with Dr. Don on the phone, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for our program. We will be talking about something very interesting today that just came up minutes before the program started, and it is mind-blowing. We want you to get your Bibles out because you will need them, and we will be going to Revelation 16, so I'll just give you that hint. We will be starting in just a minute, except for the fact that I want to tell you where our websites are. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find our book, The Spirit of the Church. You will find the writing of Rick Sterling, and we also have our secondary and original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M. There you're going to find a lot of other good writing. Let's get started because I'm anxious to hear what Rick has to say today about the robe that the faithful and wise servant is wearing. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a joyous and peaceful day. Thank you for the revealing of your truth to your servants, and I thank you, Father, that this will be a precursor to what is just about to happen in the world, where the evil one is defeated and a time of peace and prosperity comes upon the world such as has never been seen before. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me say hi to Dr. Don here. Hang on. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you out and about in the canyon or are you at home?
No, I'm out in town.
You're out in town. Okay, cool. Good for you.
I got a word this morning. There's going to be a big Vietnam veterans recognition thing at the Elks Club today.
Oh, cool.
So I'm parked nearby, so as soon as class is over, I'll slip over there.
Good for you. Well, thanks for joining us today, Don. And Rick, that was actually exciting.
It confirms what I have always understood about how God communicates with me, anyway. Those of you who have followed along with the studies that I've been giving, you can tell I'm a little excited, and this is totally unprepared. Most of what my studies are totally unprepared. They're completely spontaneous. I haven't used notes ever in 27 years that I've been doing this. I haven't used notes. The studies come from my soul. And I was feeling a little down this morning because of what's going on in the world, and that it doesn't seem that what I'm doing is even being noticed. Barely noticed. But as I contemplated my purpose, or my perceived purpose, or as I understand it, I was thinking it would sure be wonderful if God would just let me know what's going on, what's happening, is what I'm doing important to him and to his kingdom? Usually when I get to that point, something amazing happens. Have I ever said the Holy Spirit is so amazing, so wonderful, so awesome, so incredible?
Only 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 times.
This is so spontaneous that I don't even have the verse that I want, but I know that the prophets in Israel of old would bring to God's attention, that's the only way I can put it, obviously God already knew about it, but would bring to God's attention the fact that all day long they were talking, preaching, whatever, saying the words that nobody wanted to hear. All day long, they were speaking the words that God had given them, and everybody was just going on about their own business and not paying any attention. And those who did pay attention were deriding, insulting, and abusing the prophet. You see, the devil listens to what the prophet says and uses his servant slaves to make the prophet's life as miserable as possible. I've read this text many, many times. I'll read it again because I feel it's appropriate here. It's in Jeremiah 20 and it's verses 7 through 9. You have seduced me, Yahweh, and I've let myself be seduced. You have overpowered me. You were the stronger. I am a daily laughingstock, everybody's butt. Each time I speak the word, I have to howl and proclaim violence and ruin. The word of Yahweh has meant for me insult, derision, all day long. I used to say, I will not think about him. I will not speak in his name anymore. Then there seemed to be a fire burning in my heart. That fire is still burning in my heart. And whether 3 people are listening to me or whether 300 people are listening to me or 3,000 people are listening to me, it doesn't matter. The fire is still there.
And you know who else is listening to you?
Yes.
God.
I've done a lot of study about the prophecies, particularly about the prophecies and particularly about the testimony of the Son of God. I've done a lot of study of the law and the prophets. I've done a lot of study. And one point that I have made over and over and over and over again, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. In order to know what God is saying to you and to the people of the world, you need to know God. And to know God, you must study the information that he has taken the time in his love and his concern for us to give us the information we need so that we can know him intimately. Know him, not know about him, not know of him. Know him. As I've studied Revelation, there were a few verses that would make me scratch my head. And you go, well, every verse in Revelation makes me scratch my head. And I understand that, and I totally can relate. But one such verse was in Revelation chapter 16. And that verse is 15. And that starts, looks like here. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who stays awake and not taken off his clothes. Do you know what you are when you take off your clothes?
Naked.
Very good, Dennis. That was a difficult question to answer.
You know, I try to stay on top of these things.
So that he does not go out naked and expose his shame.
And what would that shame be? I mean, what would cause a person to take their clothes off and willingly be shamed?
Turn to Revelation chapter 1. And we'll read verse 3. I've read verses 1 through 3 many times. I'm going to read verse 3, and I want you, because I'm going to make a connection here. Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him, if they treasure all it says, because the time is close. Now keep your finger there and turn to Matthew 24. And we'll start with verse 47. What sort of servant, and let me just put man there, what sort of servant then is faithful and wise enough for his master to place him over his household to give them their food at the proper time?
That's, by the way, verse 45.
Was that 45? Oh, yeah, 45. Sorry. I tell you solemnly to give them their food at the proper time. Happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at this employment. I tell you solemnly he will place him over everything he owns. But as for the dishonest servant who says to himself, my master is taking his time, and sets about beating his fellow servants and eating and drinking with drunkards, his master will come on a day that he does not expect and at an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off and send him to the same fate as the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
And that servant is, this is describing the same servant. That person who is either faithful and wise, or who turns and becomes evil.
And in and I read Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, specifically because it connects to Matthew chapter 24, 45 through 51. Blessed is he who reads the prophecy of this book, and blessed are those who listen or hear. So it sounds to me like there's a servant, a person, who reads the prophecies and understands them so that he can explain it to others, and the others who listen to the explanations are blessed because of it. But if he decides that it's taking too long and things aren't looking the way he had expected them to look, then he goes, well, maybe it isn't going to happen now. Maybe it'll happen later, and I'm tired of this because nobody's listening. Nobody cares.
And also,
it isn't working out like it's supposed to.
And also, there's no money in it.
Well, money doesn't matter.
Well, no, I mean, but the idea is that he's not doing well in the world except in this regard.
In that description in Matthew 24, one thing is for sure that happens. His master returns.
Okay.
His master returns, and his master returns unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. That all is in there. And he either finds that head of the household servant with his clothes on or with his clothes off. He's either dressed in the white robe or he's naked. And if he's naked, he's assigned a place with the hypocrites. If he's clothed, he is placed over all God's possessions. But the one thing that is for certain is he comes unexpectedly, like a thief. Now, Revelation 16.
Okay. So the first reference to the thief is in Revelation 3:3. And again, it says, remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. So that's the first reference. The second is in Revelation 16:15.
When I first started sharing the information that I was seeing in my studies, and I had dedicated myself to study basically full time, and I was even teaching a Sabbath school class at church I'd started, and I had been given permission to, because, you know, anyway, And I remember the time, and Dr. Don, you were there, when I was going to be presenting the second beast of Revelation 13, and the false prophetess of the church had already made it be known what that beast was, and I was going to show those, there were about seven, I think, in my class at the time. I was going to prove to them from the Bible that that beast, the second beast of Revelation 13, was not the United States of America, but was in fact the release of the devil, or the demons and the devil, from the abyss. And I didn't know how to prove it from the Bible. I'd never had to. As long as I could remember, I was told that that beast, the two-horned lamb-like beast, was the United States of America. And it was the week before I needed to prove to them from the Bible that it was not the United States of America, that I didn't know where else to go. I had gone through all the books, everything. All the books said it was the United States of America. So I prayed. I prayed for God to show me in the Bible where I could prove this, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do it. And as I just was saying amen, I heard two words in my subconscious. Fifth bowl. Fifth bowl. I knew what the fifth bowl was. And I looked it up. And as soon as I heard it, I knew how to prove it. And the reason that I'm talking about this is that I see this basically as the same thing that just happened this morning. I had wondered specifically why that coming like a thief was in the sixth bowl of wrath, because that is not when the coming like a thief occurs, at least as I understood it at that time and as everybody else understood it at that time. What I had been told, and, you know, my dad was a pastor in the Seventh Adventist Church, and he gave many, especially early on. I grew up basically going to Daniel and Revelation prophecy seminars, and I heard it from very early age that the reason it was there is that his coming like a thief was when he came in the clouds at the end of the Great Tribulation. When you look at the seventh bowl, the seventh bowl of wrath, and it says that the seventh angel emptied his bowl into the air, and a voice sounded from the sanctuary, "The end has come." Then there was flashes of lightning and peals of thunder and the most violent earthquake that anyone has ever seen since there had been men on earth. The great city was split into three parts and the cities of the world collapsed. Babylon the Great was not forgotten. God made her drink the full wine cup of his anger. Every island vanished and the mountains disappeared, and hail, with great hailstones weighing a talent each, fell from the sky on people. They cursed God for sending a plague of hail. It was the most terrible plague. That was when he, the Son of God, would show his sign in the air, coming in the clouds with his angels to take the righteous. That's That's what they all said. That's why it's there. He's coming like a thief. But as I started studying, I realized that his coming like a thief was not his coming in the clouds. For the simple reason. The purpose of sealing the 144,000 and the purpose of bringing the five wise bridesmaids into the marriage hall was to send them out to the nations of the world to warn the people of what was happening during the Great Tribulation and not to receive the mark of the beast, but the seal of the living God. And all of this would take place, but the surprise wouldn't happen at the sixth bowl of wrath, because probation, salvation, closed with the seventh trumpet, which was before the first bowl of wrath. So where would be the element of, or importance of the element of surprise? The righteous were waiting for his return, and the wicked were cursing him. So coming like a thief could not be in the sixth bowl of wrath. But why is it there? Well, it must be kind of looking back and saying, well, it's good that you were ready, because he's coming like a thief, so make sure that you're ready when he comes like a thief. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I was never really happy with it, though. I didn't know, why was it put there? Was it put there to confuse? Because that it did, certainly. It certainly confused. You know what I have been saying about realities and life road and death road, and that it appears to me that Revelation describes in detail a death road phenomena. Where's the life road?
Well,
we were told that the reality that's described, the death road, was because wickedness was so great. It was as it was in the days of Noah before the flood. But what happens when we come to the appointed time of the end, and it's an appointed time? I mean, it isn't some random time that God is waiting for some condition of people's hearts to be totally wicked all the time. He has appointed a time for the end, and when that time comes, it is the end. So what happens if the people of the world are not just completely wicked?
Yeah, what if they're not abjectly evil? What happens? And as we've been discussing and studying these last several months since the middle of August, there is both life road prophecy in Revelation and death road. But death road is the one that all of us have studied all of these years.
So it's because it's the one that describes everything.
It describes it in such graphic detail. I can remember Elder Richards speaking of this when he preached at Glendale Adventist Church 60 years ago. What we have is an identity that says, simply says, there are two paths. And if the world takes one path, this will happen. And what we've been told is that hell and damnation breaks loose on earth before God comes in the clouds and fixes everything. What we never realized and did not know until the middle of August was, there were hints, but you hadn't put it all together. What we see now is that there is a life road as well as a death road. And believe it or not, the world has chosen the life road.
By the character of their heart.
By the character of their heart.
The fifth trumpet is the release of Satan and his minion demons across the earth. Satan is at war, and he is using his minions and demons to try and force the world onto the death road.
Because if he can do that, he wins.
But he won't be able to.
What I'm saying is, if he can do that, he would win. But he does not win.
The sixth trumpet, and I'll read that to you. This is in Revelation 9, starting with verse 13. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice come out of the four horns of the golden altar in front of God. It spoke to the sixth angel with the trumpet and said, "Release the four angels that are chained up at the great river Euphrates." These four angels had been put there ready for this hour of this day, of this month, of this year. Does that sound like an appointed time?
Yeah, it sure does.
And now they were released to destroy a third of the human race. That was Death Road. I learned how many there were in their army. Twice 10,000 times 10,000 mounted men. In my vision, I saw the horses and the riders with their breastplates of flame color, hyacinth blue and sulfur yellow. The horses had lion's heads, and fire, smoke, and sulfur were coming out of their mouths. It was by these three plagues, the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur. Sounds like chemical warfare.
Well, there is a distinct smell of sulfur when bullets are fired out of weapons.
But smoke.
It's smoke, yeah.
Smoke and sulfur. See, sulfur, you know what sulfur
is.
Yeah,
sure.
What did they use in World War I?
Well, they used mustard gas.
Yes, and what is that?
It's a sulfur compound.
Yes. All the horses' power was in their mouths, and their tails were like snakes, had heads that were able to wound. But the rest of the human race who escaped these plagues refused either to abandon the things they had made with their own hands and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood that can neither hear nor move, or to stop worshiping devils. Nor did they give up their murdering or witchcraft or fornication or stealing. Now, the sixth bowl of wrath is connected to the sixth trumpet, just like the first trumpet and the first bowl of wrath are connected, because they affect the same thing in the same order. Now, in the sixth trumpet, a great war is fought. In the sixth bowl of wrath, there is a gathering of the nations to the valley of Harmageddon, Megiddo, to fight the war on the great day of God Almighty. But if you notice, that war is never fought. There's no description of fire, smoke, and sulfur, and bombs, and guns, and lion's heads, and horses with serpent tails, and it's not there. It seems to be interrupted by the, I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes, so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. So why is that there? Well, something just kept going over and over in my mind, because what is happening in the world right now is what would be tantamount to what the drying up of the river Euphrates described in the sixth bowl of wrath was to do. We have the spirits of demons going throughout the world trying to bring the world together to a great war. That is happening. Why? Because they want to subdue the nations of the world and bring in the hegemon. What's a hegemon?
An overarching, all-consuming oligarchy, I guess you'd call it.
To put it mildly.
Yes.
And who would that be?
In our case, right now, in world.
Wait. What does it say in the sixth bowl? To prepare the way
for the kings,
from the east.
Yes.
So what the globalists are doing are they're trying to subdue the nations of the world and then bring in China.
And had HRC won that election in 2016, we right now would not be here.
We would be in heaven.
We would be in heaven.
We would be in heaven. Now, we would have been in heaven since 2019.
And you see, that's a little disconcerting, isn't it? Because the world has chosen not to follow Satan as such. And now we are going to a different reality. We are going to a life road reality, which does not include that war.
But you see now, we don't have the bowls of wrath, because when the bowls of wrath start, according to Revelation, everyone who would be sealed with the seal of the living God is already sealed. Everyone who would have the mark of the beast already has the mark of the beast. These are the punishments. But see, that hasn't happened. They've tried to use the vaccine, or not the vaccine, they've tried to use the virus, which doesn't exist, as a mark. And they're trying to make it so you can't travel, you can't buy or sell, not all of this stuff.
You have to have a passport.
You have to have you have to have evidence, a paper or a certificate or something that says that you have complied with the CDC or the other.
WHO.
Yes, all of that. But why? See, why? This morning when I read that, I thought, that's it. So you go, okay, Rick, I've been waiting for this. What do you mean? God is not going to allow the globalists to bring China into
power
to rule the world. It is not going to become a communist, socialist, oligarchy, tyrannical, fascist state for the world.
And you see, this was heading that direction, because if you know the background of the current quotes unquote president of the United States, you will be able to see the fingers of China in him.
So the Lord God Almighty is going to send his son back to earth, and his appearance will be as a thief in the night. And it doesn't matter whether that was going to be to prepare the 144,000 and to seal the bridesmaids, the wise bridesmaids, or whether it was to stop the devil from his plans to subdue the world anyway. If he was not able to infect the souls of the majority of the people of the world so that their love would be cold and their condition would be like it was before the flood, when he had totally captured the hearts of everyone except for one man, Noah, the devil thinks, I'm showing God who these people that he created in his image and after his likeness, I'm showing God who these people really choose, and they choose me, just like before the flood, and then God had to do his thing. But I'm going to do it again.
And
I'm sending my demons throughout the world, and we are going to subdue this world by force, and then I'm going to bring in the CCP, and this world is going to be hell on earth because I rule hell. You see, God lets him go only so far. And then it stops. And the Son of God is coming like a thief. But when you understand how the prophecy, by understanding the prophecy and how it's working out alternatively, this is not another fulfillment or a type of fulfillment or a partial fulfillment or any of that. I'm not saying that because that doesn't happen. What I'm saying is that in the other reality, the life road reality, the devil is still trying to make the world subject to him, force it. He is trying to force the people of the world to submit to him. If they will not do so willingly, he's going to force them by bringing in the hegemon, the communist, socialist, tyrannical. And it's not just the Chinese. That's kind of the seed that grows. But it's a globalist agenda, and the globalists worship Satan. You read the sixth bowl of wrath, what does it say? The sixth angel emptied his bowl over the great river Euphrates. All the water dried up. Now, when we read the sixth trumpet, it said that the four angels chained at the great river Euphrates to release the water, the flood, and that was the great war. This is drying up to prepare the way so that a way was made for the kings of the east to come in. And who are the kings of the east?
China.
China is the only country in the east that would have the power and ability to do what he's talking about here. Then from the jaws of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, and remember, the beast and the false prophet don't exist right now.
Right.
We only have the dragon. I saw three foul spirits come that looked like frogs, and in fact were demon spirits, able to work miracles, going out to all the kings of the world to call them together for the great for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. This is how it will be. It's kind of like he's saying, I've said that, but now this is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. I shall come like a thief.
Instead,
when they are doing this, I'm going to come like a thief and put a stop to it.
You see, there, and see, that was spectacular this morning. And I saw your eyes, and I saw you close them. And I watched, and it made absolute perfect sense. We are right there.
Happy is the man. What man? What man? The one in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3.
Right.
He who reads.
The one who is in Matthew 24:45-51, the faithful and wise servant.
And Revelation 1:3, the the man who reads, and the fellow servants are those who listen. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and has not taken off his clothes. If he doesn't take off his clothes, his master finds him feeding his fellow servants when he returns as a thief in the night.
He is not the wicked servant who does take off his clothes to eat with and drink with the drunkard.
So that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. Perfect. Perfect.
And you see, this verse is a reference back to the one person who God has called to do that. Now, when we first started studying this years and years ago, and you mentioned it, we were looking at this verse as pointing backwards to something, but we didn't know what it was pointing back to. And today we do. And that is why we know that this is sequential.
This is there in the sixth bowl.
Exactly.
That is why it's there in the sixth bowl of wrath.
It is sequential. It isn't pointing back. It is real time right now.
What it's saying is alternatively.
Right.
Do you know what alternatively means?
Somebody's made a choice. There's an alternative to what you see.
The alternative is this sixth bowl of wrath will not happen if alternatively things are not what they were described as being when Revelation starts. Do you understand?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. And by the way, it's interesting because in most of the Bibles that I have read and have copies of in my computer, that verse is in parentheses. It is parenthetical. It is as if it is isolated from what is going on around it. But it's not. It's integral to what is going on around it. Big difference.
And now, so what I want you to understand is I'm not saying the sixth bowl of wrath is being poured out.
No.
Alternatively, I'm not saying that the sixth bowl of wrath is being poured out. What I'm saying is the devil and his demons are trying to make this happen anyway.
Right.
Because when they bring in China, and they won't, but when they bring in China, they hope that their plan is to subdue the whole world under Satan's rule and force everyone to worship Satan. But the sixth bowl of wrath in reality happened after everyone had had an opportunity to make their decision whose name they would recognize as their God, and they would have the seal of that God on them, which is either the seal of the living God or the mark of the dead God. What I'm saying is that what God is telling us here in the sixth bowl of wrath is there is an alternate reality. And that if you want to know when this coming like a thief occurs, it is when the push is on by the dragon and his demons to get China in power over the world. And don't tell me that isn't happening right now, because all you have to do is look.
Where did the China virus come from? Who was in charge of the WHO at the World Health Organization at the time that virus made its way into the world?
Who's trying to bring China up into power?
Exactly.
And willingly, all the globalist leaders are submitting to China and bringing China in. And I'm telling you that this is that I now understand why that coming like a thief is there in that. Makes perfect sense.
So do me a favor, and I know Don is going to want this. Give a 2-minute recap of what you just explained. Remember how we wrote the book? We had the ending thing. We explained and showed what it was that we explained. By
well,
the way,
first of all,
if you haven't read the book, please go do it.
First of all, I would not know this if I didn't know God. And I mean know God. I'm not saying I know of God. I believe in God. I know that God exists, and I believe in him. No, I know God. I know God as I knew my dad, and I knew my mom, and I know my brothers and sister. I know my family. I know my wife. And my son and my daughter and my granddaughter. I know them. I know what they like. I know what they don't like. I know where they like to go. I know where they don't like to go. I know what they like to wear. I know everything about them. And I would not be able to do what I just did today if I did not know and understand God. That this is what I have been saying for years.
And why now, Rick?
Why now?
See, God's timing is perfect. And what I'm saying about that is this. We were expecting Jesus to come as a thief in the night. But we were expecting it in a different format, in a different way. And now we know the way that he's going to be coming as a thief in the night.
He's going to come like a thief in the night no matter what.
Right.
But we didn't know that he let us know the alternative.
Right.
Coming like a thief in the night. So what we have is we have the faithful wise servant and the fellow servants. The faithful wise servant will either be feeding his fellow servants at the time when the coming like a thief occurs, whether it was back then in 2012, which of course it can't be now, or whether it's sometime in the future when God puts a stop to the globalist agenda. Both times he will come like a thief. And it would behoove the faithful and wise enough servant to not take off his robe and put his service on hold.
Right. And that's where we were this morning. the idea that there is an alternative to what has been understood to be true all of these years is now crystal clear and apparent. We are not in the death row scenario that is listed in Revelation everywhere, but in Revelation 10 and now in Revelation 16 and Revelation 1:1-3.
When you see how many things that God has done with me that they're just not, no one else has had it. You know, the Revelation 10 and the alternate, but what did the seventh under say? I don't know. It's a secret. But see, God gives clues, and once you've got everything together, you get to a certain place where all of a sudden you go, oh, I know why he put that there. And it didn't come from the seven thunders.
No.
He'd already put it in there. But it was hidden in amongst everything else, and your mind is trained to follow progression. That was half the problem with trying to understand Revelation, as you're following progression. But Revelation is put together.
It's serpentine,
kind of
actually,
back and forth.
Right.
And, yeah, that God is amazing. God is awesome.
And his timing is impeccable.
Well, when you're down, God will pick you up. And, you know, I had a feeling that when I was really feeling down today, that if I didn't just give in to my feelings, God would do something that would, like, okay, you said you want a little more information. Yeah, all you have to do is look. Just look. And it was like, okay, I know what the sixth bowl of wrath says. And then when I read it, I go, you saw me.
Yeah, I did.
There it is.
Well, thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/STM and take a look around. We also encourage you to join us a week from this past Friday at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a happy Sabbath, a good day, and we will see you all next time.